far in one direction that they're just really hurting society today. I had somebody send me something on Facebook. It said, in 1944, 18-year-olds were storming the shores of Normandy and taking land with a purpose. In 2017, 18-year-olds are cowering in a safe place because somebody said something bad to them on Facebook. I mean, there's a difference, you know? And we need to really pray for that. And I want to say one other thing before I get started here. I am so glad that my honey is with me today. I am. I'm glad she's with me today. I hate leaving her, you know. This March, we're going to celebrate 30 years. Hallelujah, man. 30 years. Hallelujah. We were looking at each other yesterday and said, boy, it just don't seem like that long, does it? You know? Now, some of you might say, oh, God. Brandon was really tickled when I told somebody what I was thinking about preaching on this week, because it goes right along with he's been teaching on the Articles of Faith. And he told me to tell you, this is number 11. I think it's number 11. I'm going to talk about healing today. Divine healing, is it for today? Is it for today? Now, I promise you, I will not cover my whole message. I have 38 pages. I have 38 pages of notes on divine healing, okay? And I said, all right, Lord, come on, let's condense this. I condensed it down to 38 pages. Yeah, that's not what I started with. And I divided that 38 pages actually into four different segments, you know. So this morning I'm actually going to be able to give you the first segment of it. And we're just going to talk about, is it for today? Is it for today? You know, does God heal today? I mean, if you look around, a lot of people don't believe that. One of my biggest conflicts I've ever had in the church is talking about healing. I mean, this is a Pentecostal church, and people get disgruntled when you talk about healing. And one of the main reasons is because, you know, I won't have you stand up, but if you come from a different background other than Pentecostal, you might have been taught against healing. You might have been taught that God don't do it anymore, you know, that it ended with the Apostle John. That's the big thing. You might have been taught that when the Bible came, then tongues and healing and all that went out the door, you know, because God quit doing that when the Bible came, because the Scripture said when that was perfect which come, that which is before will be done away with. The problem is knowledge and the other stuff has not been done away with. So, you know, you can't throw away tongues and healing and all that as well. Some Bibles, the NIV Bible, leaves portions about healing completely out of it. The writers of the NIV Bible did not necessarily like the subject of Pentecost and the subject of healing, so they left in Matthew or Mark 16, they left a whole section out of the Bible because they didn't like it. That's the writers of the NIV Bible. People ask me, why don't you like the NIV Bible? Well, I just gave you one reason why I didn't like it. You know, I know it's modern English and all that, but there are better alternatives than the NIV Bible. So, yeah, divine healing. You know, you're going to have a hard time convincing me it ain't for today because I've watched it too much. You know, I've watched cancer be totally wiped off a person. I mean completely with one prayer, you know. Now, the reason why there's so discrepancies is because God is not a cookie-cutter God, okay? Even Jesus, in the midst of all of his miracles and all of his healings, did not do them the same way. One time, you know, Cassidy, if you walked up the altar and you said, Pastor, I need prayer for this, I need healing for this, and I went in your face, you might go,
What?
Jesus did that. Or standing outside and you say, and he just reaches down, grabs a hold of a mud ball and smacks you right in the face with it. Jesus did that. A woman came with a goiter attached to her neck to Smith Wigglesworth. Big old ugly thing. Hung off her neck. And said, I need prayer for this. He reached up and grabbed and ripped it off her face and threw it on the floor. You'd be freaking out, wouldn't you? Yeah, you're going to try to convince me divine healing isn't for today? Another person in the midst of the service, while Smith Wigglesworth was preaching, dropped dead. He had a heart attack. Right here at the altar. Smith said, stand him up. He wound back and punched the guy right in the gut. He said, arise! Fell to the floor. Deader than a doornail. He said, pick him up. He wound back harder. And Smith was about 6'6". Whoom! Belted him right again in the gut. I said, arise! Let go of him. He fell to the floor. Pick him up. He's getting ticked now at the devil. He wound back like this, and he went like this, and that guy stuck his hands out and caught him and said, you don't have to hit me again. I felt it both times. True stories. These are written down. True stories. People saw this happen, wrote it down. We're not talking about stuff that's crazy, you know. Talking about two miracles. Smith was credited for raising over 10 men from the dead. 10 people. They didn't run out and embalm them as soon as they die back in them days, you know. As soon as they die now, they embalm them before they're cold. And he raised 10 people from the dead in his day. And you know the craziest thing in the world? I don't know what that was. Maybe a pick. You're looking for a pick. It's down here. He raised 10 people from the dead. He died of gallstones. You go, what? Yeah, gallstones. He said, Jesus, you're going to heal me or I'm going to come and meet you. And he went and met him. That's what he said. Is divine healing for you today? Yes, yes. Can we expect to see miraculous things in this modern high-tech world? My answer is yes. I personally experienced Jehovah Rapha, Lord our healer. Oh, hallelujah. Now, my desire today is to show you some healing scriptures. I'm going to look at some stuff from the Old Testament, stuff from the New Testament. I'll try to kind of link the two together in hopes to show you that God is able and he is willing to heal the sick. He's willing to heal people that are diseased. He's willing to heal people that have an infirmity about them. You know, we have experienced divine healing over the years. And so many millions of other people around the world have. Multitudes of books have been written on what's called faith healing or spiritual healing or divine healing or healing prayer or healing ministry or some other expression of healing, you know. Genuine testimonies, like I just told you, of the supernatural power of God fill the Bible plus modern day. Plus modern day. The foundation of this truth lies not in just our experience, as wonderful it may be, but I believe the scriptures and the word of God are what are the foundation for what I'm talking about. If you want to look in your Bible, we're going to look at James chapter 5, James chapter 5, verse 14. And I'm going to say it. Sick believers do not have to remain sick according to the scripture. You know, I mean, it's just what it says. James 5 and 14. It says, Is anyone among you sick? That's the question. If he is, he should call for the elders of the church to pray over him. Now, James was writing to Christian believers. We see that from chapter 2, verse 1. And he asked them if any of them were sick. It is a given of life in our fallen condition. Listen to me. I'm going to say it one more time so everybody gets it. It is a given in life in our fallen condition, which we live in, folks. This body is subject to the fallen condition. That's why you still have the lusts you have. That's why you still have the cravings you have. That's why you still have the desires you have. Because this body is fallen. And sometimes it is prone to sickness. And eventually, I hope you get this, eventually, every single one of us in this room will die. Period. When you're young, you don't even think about it. When you're 60, you go, Mortality starts kicking in about 45 for me. Oh, man, I got to have glasses? What are you talking about? I got perfect eyes. Glasses? Need glasses? Good Lord. What the heck is that? I didn't do nothing. Nothing different yesterday. Oh, my God, what is that? I just got out of bed. Man, it was a rough sleep last night. They beat me up. There's a devil on top of me pounding me with his fists all night. I'll fix you. You start having all these noises happening in your body. I never heard that before. What is that? It hurts to do that. My pinky? It never hurt before. Man, something's going wrong with my toe. I can't figure out what that is. I better get that checked. We're not even talking about joints. Let's not even go there. You know, elbows, hips, shoulders, knees. We're not even going there. You're dying, for crying out loud. Do you not get the message? It's wore out. The machine is coming to a halt. The statistic of death is 100%. 100%. 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100, 1,000 out of 1,000, I don't care how you figure it out, 1 million out of 1 million are going to die. The only way out of it is the rapture. That's the only way out of it. The rest of us are going in a box. That's why he says, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Now look with me at Exodus 15. Exodus 15. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you, verse 26. That's the New Testament, what I told you about it. Let's look at the Old Testament. God said, this is God talking, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands, and keep all His decrees, I will not, everybody say will not, bring on you any of the diseases I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am, say I am, the Lord who heals you. God identified himself to Israel in a variety of ways, a variety of names that had to do with his character. In this passage, he says, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Jehovah meaning covenant. Jehovah is the word that connects God to man, because the word Jehovah means covenant, and God has covenant with man. So it's not his name, by the way. I hate to bust your bubble. But it connects him to us. Healing is not just something that God does. It's way more than that, guys. Healing is a part of his nature. That's why he said this. He used his true name in explaining to the Israelites. He said, I am the God who heals you. And I am is his true name. YHWH. I am. We can't say YHWH. Why can't we say that? It don't have no vowels. But when they wrote his name, that's what they wrote. YHWH. And somebody got a hold of it and called it Yahweh. Put some A's in it. Made it so you can say it. But you can't speak God's name. And he just wanted everybody to know that I am. I am. That's him. Now, he gave us a name that is above all names. Come on now. In the New Covenant, we have a name that is above all names. That's why you don't see the word Jehovah in the New Testament. It's not in the New Testament. There's no Greek word for Jehovah, because Jehovah is a Hebrew word. And he says, I am giving you a name that is above all names, and at this name, every knee should bow at the name of Jesus. Jesus is Emmanuel, the God who connected with us, the man who connected God with man, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus. So he gave us a name. So that's why we don't call on Jehovah, we don't call on Yahweh, we don't call on Yireh, we don't call on Jehovah Rapha, we don't call on Jehovah Jireh, we call on Jesus, a name that is above every name. That's God's standard, that's not mine, that's what Jesus said, that's what God said. Hallelujah. God is, was, and will continue to be a healer. Remember always that you serve a healing God who has declared that his intent towards you is not to bring on diseases and sicknesses. These people, I got sick so I can go visit. I got sick so I can witness in a hospital. No, you didn't. Don't you dare believe that. God's not a God that imparts sickness on you so that you witness. Lord, have mercy. It's the Lord that heals. God is for us, not against us, in a matter of healing. God is not even the author of death. He's not even the author of death. He allows death to happen, but he's not the author of it. God's heart toward his people is health and healing. Examples in Exodus 23. If you're there at 15, just turn a few pages. Exodus 23. Worship the Lord your God. And his blessings, everybody say blessings, will be with you, and your food and your water. And I will take away, everybody say take away, sickness from among you. And none will miscarry or be barren in the land. I will give you a full lifespan. Let me read another. In Deuteronomy 7, you don't have to turn there. Verse 11 and 12, therefore, take care to follow the commands and decrees of the Lord, laws of I will give you. If you pay attention to these laws and be careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant with you of love, as he swore with your forefathers. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases that you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who, listen, hate you. New Testament, New Covenant, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good, and here it is, healing all who under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Folks, God's spiritual healing power extends to all our diseases and to all our infirmities. Now, I want you to turn to Psalms 103. Now, this is one verse I want you to remember, put this in your memory counter. Write it down. Put it on your refrigerator. This is worthy of a refrigerator. It is. For all those kids that come and visit you to read, this is worthy of it. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. This is David. Praise the Lord, O my soul. What's he talking about? That's everything. That's his mind. That's his will, his intellect, his emotions. All my soul. And forget not. See, some have. Forget not his benefits. What is it? Who forgives all your sins. Here it is. And heals all your diseases. Period. I believe the greatest of the Lord's benefits is that he forgives our sins. How many can say amen? I mean, he's forgiven. Oh, this is so hard to talk about. There's so many erroneous things running in the church world. He's forgiven all sins that you're going to commit. I mean, that one that you're going to commit tomorrow, he's forgiven that. Really? He forgave all those ones of the past. And I've talked to you guys about some of mine. All those things. He's forgiven them. He forgives all the sins. The blood of Jesus is that powerful. That powerful. But I am so glad that David doesn't just leave us there. He doesn't just leave us with the thought that I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. But he charges us that we forget it, not forget another thing. Another one of the Lord's benefits, particularly of being one of his children. You know, how many of you parents have ever wished your child got sick so they could witness to somebody? Can you imagine if your dad said, Leslie, boy, I sure hope Leslie gets cancer so she can go to the hospital and witness to people. Can you imagine him ever doing that? He's going to answer for you. He's going to make sure you don't get stuck in that question, right? But that's how stupid it is to say God sent you to the hospital to witness to somebody. You know, that's what helped me believe in a premillennial rapture, a pre-trib rapture. That's what helped me believe in it. Just common sense helped me believe in it. Now, I can show you scriptures for every one of the beliefs. If you want to believe in a mid-trib, I can show you scriptures for that. If you want to believe in a post-trib, I can show you scriptures for that. But those of you men that got married, how many of you took your wife out in the backyard and beat the tar out of her before wedding day? It just don't make sense, Mike. It don't make sense. I'm going to get her straight for this wedding. I'm going to fix her. It don't make sense. And the rapture takes his church away for wedding day. It takes the church away for wedding day. So why in the world would a man beat his wife up? Why would God, during the tribulation, guys, I don't know if you know about it, but millions and millions and billions of people are going to die during the tribulation. Why would he put the church in that and make them suffer and be beat up with all of those that are dying? Why would he do that before he marries her? I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, just common sense tells you that's a stupid doctrine. It's the same with healing. God does not wish sickness on any of us. He doesn't put them on any of us. He says all our diseases, none are too hard for him. God heals them all. No illnesses are excluded from the great benefit. Whatever disease you or your loved one may have, it falls under God's promise to heal all your diseases. Now, our problem lies in the fact that he doesn't always do it the way we expect him to. Right? He doesn't always do it that way. And so that creates a problem for us. You know? See, healing, of all the gifts of the Spirit, healing is the only one that's plural. You know, the healing is healings. It's the gifts. Everybody say gifts. Because there's so many different ways to be healed. You know, and there's so many different healing needs, spiritually, physically, mentally. There's so many different ways that God heals through the gifts of healing. Jesus died for both sins and sicknesses. Now, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to run through these so I don't take too long. Isaiah 53:5. You can write them down if you want to look them up later. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we, everybody say, are healed. R is what? Okay. Now, let me give you Peter's redundance of that. You're going to like this one. You're going to like this one. That was Old Testament. Here's Peter in 1 Peter 2 and 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might not die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, here it is, you have been healed. Is it something? Yeah, 2 Peter. You have been healed. Oh, come on now. Why was Isaiah in present tense? Well, Isaiah was calling it out in faith. The same way righteousness was imputed to Abraham. Righteousness was imputed to him because he called those things that were not as though they were. It was Old Testament. It was before Jesus. When Peter's writing, it's after he died. You are, you have been. Oh, hallelujah. You have been. It's getting this body and mind to agree with what the scripture is saying. It was Jesus' willingness to offer himself on the cross that bore our sins. But that very same tormented body of Jesus with all of his scourgings, with the crucifixion and nails and the crowns and all of that shedding of blood purchased for us the blessing of divine healing. By his wounds you have been healed. There is a difference. There's a major difference, guys. I'm telling you. Isaiah was talking prophetically. Peter was talking historically. Because Jesus said, it is finished. Sin has been overcome. Sickness has been overcome. The cross of Jesus Christ has conquered both sin and sickness. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I can give you some incidences, let me do that. How God responds to prayer for healing. In Genesis 20, verse 17 and 18, then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his slave girls so that they could have children again. For the Lord had closed up every womb in Abimelech's household because of Abraham's wife Sarah. Numbers 12, verse 13. So Moses cried out to the Lord, O God, please heal her. The principle was simple. Faithful Abraham prayed and God healed. Faithful Moses prayed for Miriam and God healed her leprosy. King David understood the power of prayer for healing the sick in Psalm 32. Oh, Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. The ongoing principle is seen here everywhere in the Bible. I don't have enough time to talk about all the different places where it talks about the power of a believer praying and God healing. God honors and answers prayer for healing. Let me ask you a question. Is Abraham, Moses, and David any better than you? Absolutely not. How many of you have ever killed somebody physically? Sometimes we murder them all the time with our mouth, but how many have ever killed them physically? Nope. Both Moses and David has. So did Abraham. Moses and David killed people because they were ticked off. They are no better than you. There is power when we pray, folks. Matthew 21, verse 22, gives us the answer. You want to write that down, Matthew 21, verse 22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. I believe it's okay with God if we pray emotionally for healing. All over the Bible. See, we live in this day that's called easy believism. You know, we hear it on the radio, we see it on TV, churches all over the place just pray that all you got to do is, they preach this doctrine that all you got to do is just kind of pray this prayer and everything's going to be okay. And they don't really require belief, you know. They don't really require it. Or they have this, when I say easy believism, it says, well, what are you talking about? I believe there's a God. Really? I've had people tell me that. I'm going to heaven. I believe there's a God. I asked them, do you believe the devil's going to heaven? Well, no. Well, he believes in God. Ain't doing him no good. See, there's more to it than that. And our belief has got to be tuned in, so to speak, to the Holy Spirit and his communication to us. You know, this walk, guys, let me tell you this right now. This walk we have, this is not haphazard. You know, you get up and you go throughout your day and you think that this is just me doing my day, but no, it's not. It's ordained. Throughout those days, there are divine appointments for you to connect with other people, for you to take this gospel and shine it to them. Somebody may be in your crosshairs. God has singled their soul out for you. The most horrifying scripture to me in the Bible is in Ezekiel, where he says, he that failed to warn the wicked of their sin, his blood shall be upon your hands. He that failed to warn the wicked. For whether it be approval, I never sought approval. I really don't care if anybody likes me. I've been delivered, folks. You know, I've already had enough people tell me they can't stand me. It don't matter to me. You know, I used to wonder why I had such a tough childhood, especially when you're going through it. I mean, come on, man. Everybody has it so rough, you know. And I wondered how I had such a tough childhood. Why in the world did the Lord allow this to me? I didn't have no little quiet room to go run into and say, oh, keep me safe. I didn't have that stuff. I had a growling belly. because there was nothing to put in it and nowhere to get anything to put in it and nobody to help me put into it. And I couldn't figure out why. I asked that so long. Even after I got saved, Brett, I asked that question. Why so hard? I mean, I know the Lord gave me a message. I know the Lord gave me an interpretation. He told me that he did it, that he put me there. And so all my blaming was right. I was blaming him the whole time. It was right. He put me there. He said, I was with you when you were under the bridge. In fact, I put you there. It's the exact words. All the blaming was right. And I could not figure out why. I just recently figured it out when I went to Romania. I figured it out. I couldn't figure out why I had such an appreciation for God. And people that I know, people that got saved the same time, they just don't have the same love. I couldn't figure it out. Until these little children that have had either parents abandon them or parents die and leave them, and they were hugging me. In that orphanage, there was about 100 kids in that orphanage. 90 of them hugged me. Even some of the teenagers, like you guys, they come up and give me a big old hug. We love you, Pastor. Some of them could talk English, some of them can't. But I understood why God did it. I understood why he did it. I understand why he makes a caterpillar suffer. Oh, the caterpillars really suffer. They go through it. Their life is miserable till they become a butterfly. And then they don't live very long. I couldn't figure out, but I understood the power of passionately praying. I understood the pain of David, of losing children, losing them when they're newborn, and losing them when they're grown, having them fight and kill each other. I understood why David prayed with such passion for healing. It creates a love that can't be surpassed by anything. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been really in the gutter living. Some of you have just had gutter lives before you met God. Your mouth sounded like a sailor on a furlough. You drank like a fish, doped it up like crazy. High meant flying high, not in an airplane. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And you know how bad God had to reach in the mud to pull you out. And through all that pain and all that suffering, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if he loves you, he can love anybody. See, when things happen, you have choices. You have choices. When bad things happen to you, you have choices. When sickness happens, you have a choice. You can become bitter or better. So many fall the path of bitter. Oh, God ain't real. He don't love me if he is. They follow the path of the bitter. Instead of saying, God, why? Why did you put me here? What position? What is going to come out of this? What are you going to be able to you? God knows my heart. I've told him before. I'm ready. I'm not praying for him to come right now. Actually, I pray he delays. Well, that's more opportunities, more chances to give some of our kids that aren't saved a chance. You know what I'm saying? But I understand. I understand healing. understand it. I mean, when I had cancer, every time I went to the doctor, I expected him to look at me and say, Mr. Knight, you want to talk about faith? I had faith like a mountain, man. I was waiting any day for him to say, I don't understand. It went away. I was waiting for one of their reports. Every time I went, they went, we're going to do this check on you. Cool. That means it's gone. You know? And it wasn't until I was being wheeled into the operating room, and I'm still thinking, they're going to open me up and say there's nothing there. That's what I kept saying all the way. You can't talk about talking faith or belief. I believed it. As much as it's possible for a human to believe, I believed it. I also believed I was going to live. So whatever God did, I was ready. You don't always do it your way. I'm going to finish with one more story. This story is taken from 2 Kings, chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. It's a powerful story. You got to get this one. Might explain some things to you. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. By the way, Hezekiah was one of the good kings of Judah. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That's pretty plain, right? It's over. Isaiah turns around to leave. And then he turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And the Bible says Hezekiah wept sore. That means intensely. And it came to pass before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captive of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Shall thou go to the house of the Lord? Sickness, illness can be emotionally devastating. And let me just tell you right now, Hezekiah was sick unto death. He was going to die. He had just had the prophet saying, God has given you the death warrant. God has said he's given you time to get things in order, but you're not getting out of this sick bed. And Hezekiah prayed. Israel was in a good time right now. Israel was having a good time during this time. Hezekiah was a great king, and they were having prosperity, peace. They were having a good time. Hezekiah was bringing emissaries from other lands over and showing them his land and showing them how God had prospered them. It was a good time for the land. It was a good time for the king, but he got sick. And he got a sickness that was going to kill him, and he had the prophet say so. You're dying. Now, I want you to tell me, before I go on, what was God's will? Huh? No. God told you his will, and he don't change his mind. His will was, listen, that he die. Why? Because God knows everything, folks. Hezekiah was a good king, had not sinned against the Lord, had done just righteous in his life, had done just perfection in his life, and God said, I'm taking you out right now. It just so happened there was a sickness which God had a cure for. By the way, God did not use miraculous healing to cure him. Isaiah went back in the temple. The Bible says he took a lump of figs. He took medicine. He put it on his groin where the sickness was, And Hezekiah got better. He healed him with medicine. Not some fancy bop on the head. Not with just speaking a word, but he used medicine to heal the guy. People say, I don't believe in medicine. Well, you don't believe in a word. Hezekiah lived. This is one of the most amazing stories in the whole Bible. You know, God turned back the sun in this story. I'm not going to get into all the details, but God made the sun go backwards to prove to Hezekiah. Hezekiah wanted proof. He gave him the sun turning backwards to prove it to him. Well, only two times in the Bible when God did something with the sun to prove it to people. So Hezekiah lives. Guess what happens? That's why I tell you it was God's will that he die. Why was it God's will that he die? You go, oh, but I'm sick. It was God's will that he die because God knew everything. He knew his future. You know, Hezekiah ended up sinning. He ended up sinning and repenting. But he ended up sinning, which is something that Hezekiah would have never wanted to do. He ended up bragging, becoming prideful. 2 years after this incident in the Bible, everybody say two, he has a baby. He names the baby Manasseh. See, God's plan was to stop Manasseh from being born. That was his plan. Hezekiah's sick. I'm going to go ahead and take him out. I don't want Manasseh to be born. Why? Manasseh became king. And he was for 52 years. The longest reigning king of any king. The most wicked king that Judah ever had. He built the shrines to the false gods. He sacrificed his children to Chemosh. He sacrificed his grandchildren to Moloch. That's why he reigned 52 years. He killed everybody that could have took the throne. He did. Until God took him out. God said, I had enough of you, boy. I'm putting hooks in your noses and yanking you off the throne. And an army came in and took over for Manasseh. God wanted to stop his people from having all that pain. You know, I had a slide I was going to show you. Picture of the cutest little boy you ever see. Man, is he cute. He's just a laughing. He's got curly hair. He's laying on his belly, and he's just a smiling. And you look up there and say, that is the cutest kid, man. He looked like, give me a lollipop, you know? And then the next picture of him growing up is Adolf Hitler. Show you what he looked like when he was a baby. I had a picture of Osama bin Laden when he was a little baby, a little child. Cute little guy. I had a picture of Saddam Hussein when he was just a little boy. Kind of looked the same, same look on his face, but he was just about 8 years old. They all grow up to be horrible people. Can you imagine being Ted Bundy's mother? You young kids don't even know who Ted Bundy is. The guy that killed and ate 30-some women in America. They think just 30-some. Nicest looking guy. Had a picture of him with a little cowboy hat and a little cowboy gun. He's about my age. And he had, back in when I was a little kid, little cowboy hats and guns. Because cowboy movies was always on TV. And all of us little boys wanted to be cowboys. Same thing. Grew up to be a barbarian. See, you don't know the destiny of your children either. You hope and you pray that you instill in them. You know, Ted Bundy went to church. His mother was a Christian. She stood beside him through all that suffering, all that court. I guess what I'm trying to say is, when God doesn't do it your way, He has a better plan. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. We don't know what that plan is. Would you stand with me?